You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, I pray at this time that in the end, not my word, but the living word, Jesus, your Son, would go forth, and that indeed he would take root in our hearts and our lives and bring to us the life and the salvation found in you. All this I ask now, all this I offer in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you with me this morning to look at this portion of John's Gospel, the raising of Lazarus. And in it we see one of the primary facets, well, the primary facet of good news in the Christian faith, and that is the undoing of death. The defeat of death, the fact that God gives us the promise and the assurance that that which is our greatest enemy, that which would be our greatest fear, has been undone by the power and the might and the mercy of God. We see the undoing of death placed before us. But before we get to that place, before the undoing of death, we see that Mary and Martha are understandably undone. And that is an experience that I would contend we're all familiar with in one way or another. We know what it is in life to be undone. Life will do that to us from time to time. We receive a word which shakes our reality. We receive news that we didn't hope to hear. We lose loved ones. We go through times of transition and change. There's myriad experiences throughout our lives when we feel undone. And when you experience that, and I invite you just momentarily, like you can just cover it real quickly, but some moments in your own life when you feel as if you have been undone, and my question of you is, in those times, what are your emotions? I think any number of things can flood into our lives. It could be sadness, it can be anger, confusion, disillusionment. So many things can flood in that particular moment. And as we reflect on this, we see that Mary and we see that Martha find themselves in just this moment in the illness of their brother, and they send word to Jesus. But one of the things that we see, seemingly surprisingly, is that when Jesus receives this word, rather than going immediately, we're told that he stays where he is for two additional days. And typically, when we hear of something from a loved one, because it's quite clear that Jesus loves Mary, and he loves Martha, and he loves Lazarus. That is repeated throughout the lesson this day, and yet, despite that apparent love for them, rather than racing to them in that particular moment, he lingers, and he hangs back for two additional days. Share a story with you, a portion succinctly. A dear friend of mine who has infinitely more courage and faith than I do so often in many ways, and he determined that he and his family were being called out from where they were to somewhere else, and the place that they were going, the call that they were answering, gave in many ways far less certainty than where they were, and yet he felt this pull upon them and wanted to be responsive to that call, and so they moved, and they were unable to sell their house in a timely manner in the process of all of this. So thankfully, at the last moment, he was able to rent their home to some friends of theirs. And then, not long after that, he got a call from the folks that the home was infested with termites. And so my friend, when he received that news, granted it, that's not quite death, but he was undone in that particular moment. And not only was he undone, he did what most of us tend to do, which is, of course, terribly effective, and that is he began to swirl. And he began to despair. And of course, when you're swirling and despairing, what's going to help even more is negative self-talk. And that's what he did. I can't believe you allowed yourself to get into this situation. You should have had a plan. You should have been able to address this. And now we're going down. What are we going to do? I'm going down. My family is going down. I should have been able to address this, but I cannot. And he was recounting the story to me, and as he's recounting this, he says, I know, Craig, this sounds cliche, but he said, after I swirled and after I beat myself up and after I despaired, I began to pray. And he said, as I began to pray, he said, I know this sounds like what I'm supposed to say, but honestly, he said, I began to feel a sense of peace come over me in the midst of the moment as I prayed, laid all of this out before God. And then he said this, which I thought was so powerful and true and compelling. He said, it was as if I heard God saying to me, not audibly, but as if I heard God saying to me unmistakably, Peter, I love you. Peter, I've always loved you. I've always been with you, and I will never forsake you. I love you. I've always loved you. I've always been with you. I'll never forsake you. And he felt a tremendous peace in that moment, and he believed that which he heard through his prayers. And I share that with you because one of the words which appears repeatedly throughout John's gospel is believe. Pistuo is the word in Greek, and it's an active word. It's a verb, to believe. That's something which appears throughout John's gospel, this invitation, this desire, this longing from Jesus that we would not only hear, but that we would believe. And what is it that he desired that we would believe? Who he is. That Jesus Christ is none other than God in the midst of us. Not only that we would believe that, but we would believe the nature and the character of our God, who comes into the world to seek us, who comes into the world to secure us, who comes into the world to save us. That we would not only see, but that we would believe, and that we would believe in who Jesus is, and in believing in who Jesus is, we would know the nature and the character of God. And that's of critical importance for all of us, because we see that not only for Mary and Martha, but for those who are gathered around Jesus, we see unmistakably that Jesus will respond, that death will be undone, that the situation which seems dire and despondent will be transformed. But one of the things we see, and I know this seems like low-hanging fruit, but it's important for us to hear again and again, Jesus has a bigger plan than ours, and his time frame is different than ours. We see that he waits for two additional days. By the time he arrives, Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. But he also gives reason for the hesitation. And the reason for the hesitation is that God might be glorified. That he might be glorified in order that people would see, in order that they might know, in order that they might believe that, again, that greatest thing which we have to fear is undone. And if that is undone, what does that say about everything else in our lives? And what does that say about the nature and the character of God in relationship with you and me? Because the reality is, yes, they want death undone, but also one of the things that we see clearly, what they long for is what we all long for, is to know that they're loved. And what Jesus will reveal to them is that they are unmistakably, undeniably loved. My friend, in that particular moment, one of the things that he experienced, and it's funny, as he's recounting all of this to me, one of the things that he heard as he continued to pray is that in this moment, despite his being undone, despite the uncertainty, despite the trials, one of the things he knew in that moment is that he was loved. and that there was a security in that. We all long for that. We all long to know that. We all long to have the grounding of that. And in the midst of a situation which was still challenging, was still in many ways uncertain, he knew the most important thing in the midst of that, and that God would address it. Because what he heard next, and I just think this is hilarious because it's so true often of the nature and the character of God in relationship with you and me. What he heard from God is, I'll give you the next step. I'll give you the next step. And my friend is just like you and me, because what did he want? I don't want the next step. How's it going to all be resolved? That's what I want. I know how it's all going to play out in the end. That's really generous, God. But how is it all going to ultimately, finally, I need the security and the certainty of that. And what we see this morning is just that for you and for me. Jesus will come into the midst of the situation where Mary and Martha and the others are despondent and undone, and he will speak a word, and death will be undone, and the final chapter will be revealed to you and to me. The raising of Lazarus is unmistakable foreshadowing. He will call Lazarus out from death. That is foreshadowing of what God will win for us in Jesus, the actual undoing of death, the certainty that not only are we loved and secured, but we have for ourselves the final chapter revealed. And what that means for you and for me is that we are able to walk through this life with love, real love, a love that makes itself known to us in sacrifice, a love that makes it known to us in service, that we can have the security and the stability of that. And the other things, as challenging and daunting as they might be, they're no match for that, are they? I was talking with a friend recently, and he was talking about when he was in love years ago. He's still in love, but he was really in love years ago. This was the beginnings of it, and he would go, and his girlfriend was in school 2 hours away. And this is all pre-FaceTime, et cetera, et cetera. His girlfriend was 2 hours away, and he would say, hey, can I kiss you goodnight? And she said, absolutely. And he said he would drive 2 hours. He would, really? And he would kiss his girlfriend goodnight, and then he would drive back home. Now, may I ask you, does that make any sense? Yes and no, of course. And some of you are like, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. Who would do that? And yet, such is the nature of love that we do crazy things and that it changes our lives. And so what we see this morning is a God who loves us with that kind of crazy love. Jesus returns to Bethany, and his friends and followers say, they were just now trying to stone you, and are you going to go back? And he says, yes, I'm going to go back, that the glory of God might be revealed. And the glory of God is that God doesn't just reluctantly forgive sinners. The glory of God is that he loves us, and that he does it out of his good pleasure. And the way that he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus is the way that he loves you and me as well. And knowing the certainty and the security of that, knowing that death is undone, the rest of it is easy by comparison. I will be with you, he says. I'll give you the next step, but I've also revealed the final chapter. And as we hear that this day, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are willing to steer toward all the danger, all the uncertainty, all that would undo us, and that with your love and your power, with your grace, that you secure us. I pray, Lord, that you would make that undeniably real to us this day and always. And I ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.